There's a reason that Apple is one of the most admired brands in the world. The way they do one thing is the way they do everything. From the packaging, to the website, to the products, to the way they hold meetings. Brand is everything to them, and it's why they're one of, if not still, one of the most valuable brands on the planet. I was at every NFL stadium in the country, rolling out a $1 billion deal with the NFL and Verizon, launching the fourth or fifth or sixth iPhone. I did all that shit and didn't document any of it. You're gonna see this world where, like, Pepsi is a TV station. They're gonna produce original content because people just are gonna skip or not tolerate a crappy commercial. Everybody thinks there's a secret. Everybody thinks there's a secret sauce. And I've talked to some of the most successful, wealthy, known people on the planet. The formula ain't difficult, but
how radical can you be? Well, today we're gonna find out. And that's because we're welcoming a keynote speaker, a marketing expert with over 20 years of experience. Humbly so, it doesn't look a day over 25. And this particular individual, from whether it's a podcaster and bringing on premier individuals or offering immense value through his content and continually elevating brands around the world, having worked with the most elevated and prestigious brands out there in the world today, I'm so hyped to welcome today's guest, the host of the Radcast, the founder of the Radical Company, Mr. Ryan Alford. How are you today, sir?
Jonathan, I'm good. That might be the best intro I've ever gotten. So I, I was like fact checking, but I was like, damn, that sounds like a pretty cool motherfucker.
I left
Can
out
we cuss
the
on this podcast?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think that's part of it, honestly. Funny story. Are you a basketball guy?
Oh, yeah.
So do you know who Matt Barnes is?
Oh, yeah.
So I once was at a Nets game. You know, obviously, for the audience who doesn't know, Matt Barnes is a podcast co-host of All the Smoke, and ran into him at a Nets game. Funny story is we kind of cut him off at the bar. We weren't even getting alcohol. We were just getting seltzers, club sodas. Uh-huh. And, yeah, you know, we turn around. And he's like, you know, you guys are, me and my brother, he's like, you know, you guys kind of cut me off. We were like, oh, didn't even see you there, you 6'7" dude. But yeah, aside from that,
he's giant.
I know. And so we get to talking to him, and I was like, you know, what would be your best? He offered to buy us a drink. And then I was like, you know, what would be your best podcast advice? You know, like, what would you have to say? Just kind of not starstruck, but not really like thinking clearly, having just cut off this massive NBA player. And he was like, you have to make the guest feel comfortable. Yes. And that is number one. And
absolutely.
I didn't anticipate taking the podcast in this kind of direction, but since we're on the topic, your podcast, the Radcast, over 1 million downloads per month, one of the best marketing podcasts out on the internet these days. What would you offer in terms of your best podcast advice?
You know, I think there's a, for most people, a natural reaction to want to be something that they aren't, because you're on the mic, and I think their authenticity sells. And I think some people, and look, you know, Radical is my brand, and the Radcast is on brand for me. You know, I'm not always, you know, gregarious and outgoing, but like, that's part of my brand and my personality, and, you know, it's my forum. So that's authentic to me. But I think for a lot of people, they try to be and become something they aren't because they think they need to be a showman or showwoman, and it comes off either, you know, cheesy, fake, or inauthentic, potentially. And I think podcasts are long-form conversations. They're not short-form, attention-grabbing moments. Just because you edit it down to that doesn't, you can settle down and settle into an episode. You know, you definitely want to, you know, you gotta have interest. But generally speaking, you know, I think the comfort, that was really insightful from Matt, because I might have said something similar. Because I think I will say this, if you ask me what my most original natural gift on the podcast was, is I let people take their hair down with me. Like, I you know, I'm a Southern guy, and I think, you know, I'm kind of a guy's guy, but can be a girl's guy too. And so I think I disarm people, and not because I'm trying to get them to open up to be, you know, Howard Stern and ask them, you know, salacious things. I don't mean that, but you have to disarm them and make them feel like you're having a dialogue and not an interview. And, you know, the cameras are on, lights are on, mics are on, all of all that. So you have all these distractions that remind you that it's a production. But the best hosts and the best podcasts make all of that go away, and it's a dialogue that you're the listener is the inside is an insider. You're getting to hear that dialogue, and that's the best gift a podcast host could have.
What got you here won't keep you here, right? And I think, you know, you alluded to some of your skill set. I'm curious from your perspective. Obviously, you're aiming for number one, and in some categories, particularly the marketing category, you are. How do you see the brand continuing to evolve as you either maintain or aspire for more with what you're building now?
Yeah, I mean, we're building that as we speak. My show, The Radcast, is transitioning because we're building out the Radcast network. We've added 6 or 7 shows already this year. The stretch goal's 100, but, you know, that's aggressive. I don't think my producer might fall down, Sawyer. I think he got uncomfortable in the chair as I said that. But obviously, we'd scale the team, Sawyer. So I say that to say my show's transitioning a bit. It's twice a week now. We're moving to a daily business show. And so we're number one in marketing. I want to be number one in business overall. And so we're evolving, and the next phase for us is, you know, it's called Right About Now with Ryan Alford is the new show title. That will be launching in the next 30 to 60 days. We're doing things that take time, and we're planning it out. But there's no line in the sand. No one's waiting, you know, for us to make that change. So we're going to make it when we get everything in order. And so, you know, we're evolving to be more of, you know, I'll give you the promo lines, you know. Let's see how descriptive they are, Jonathan. You can be the focus group of one here. We're taking the BS out of business. So there's the highlight line. You know, even business has become slanted. Business talk, business news has gotten political or slanted, or, you know, I can't read an Elon Musk article without it being slanted towards favoritism or hate. I can't read and so we're going to talk about business. It's definitely going to have that. I mean, look, I'm a marketing guy. I've been in it 22 years. Definitely going to have that thread still in it, but more of a insightful, topical business, lifestyle. I'll give you a proxy, and it's not because we're copying, but I think I admire what they've done, and it's a good, I think it'll put you in the right headspace. Think the Pat McAfee show for business. That's where we're going to be. And so it's not going to be, cool. Now that's a sports talk show with a bunch of dudes, but so don't, I wouldn't get so much caught up in the, oh, it's going to be, you know, bro talk as much though as it's going to be laid back and digestible and real and authentic from a business standpoint. And it's going to bring this intersection of audio and video.
I love the intersection portion and also the relatability aspect where you're kind of grounding it where, you know, as an attorney, like I love words. Sounds like you love words based on your vocabulary. I think I spent so long, 8 years in school, like 3 degrees trying to learn big words, to the point where everything now is about simplicity. Maybe it's always been about simplicity. And getting people to understand high-level concepts at a very rudimentary or fundamental level. And it sounds like that's the mission of what you're looking to accomplish. And it's so funny because words like, you know, capital just mean money. And there's just all these different things, these different names that are assigned, these different values that ultimately can be boiled down to the most simple terms that anyone should be able to understand. And I love when you talk about the taking the BS out of the business. It's really about relatability, right? It's about anyone being able to understand how to conduct a business, be profitable, and create something of value. And, you know, you have this awesome, unique story. You lived in New York for a bit. You also had a lot of pushback from your family. And what I appreciate about your story is how you dealt with that pushback. How all the different, and friends as well, right? Like people were kind of calling you out. And at some point, obviously, I know your family were like the most important listeners of your show as it was growing too, right? Like the 50 listens that you were getting were close friends and family. But ultimately, there's this narrative around, you know, people that were kind of pretending that, or pretending is the wrong word, pardon me. People that were giving you pushback and kind of mocking what you were after as you were putting out content online. How did you deal with that mentally? And how does it feel now knowing everything that you've accomplished and becoming the presence that you are?
It would probably be sexy if I responded that, you know, man, I'd think about it every day and I'd cry in bed at night because, you know, they were my friends and my colleagues and, you know, but I have an attribute that is helpful more than it's hurtful, but it's innate in me. My original boss, when he would do my reviews, which were 90% positive, but every annual review I got had one characteristic, like the flaw. I knew it was coming in the review. And this is going to build to the answer to your question. But it would always say, Ryan can seem aloof to others. And if you look up aloof, it says you're cold and indifferent. And essentially it means like you don't give a shit about what anybody else thinks. And so when you're working in a team and you're working for others, it can be problematic. And so was that 100% true? Was I? No, I am not. I'm a team player. I mean, you know, I worked for a team my whole life. But I do have an innate ability to put the blinders on, and I live with no rearview mirror. My car doesn't have a rearview mirror. Joke. But sort of. My life rearview mirror, I just don't. I could drown out that noise. If I was born with that ability, I was also born with confidence on some level. My parents raised me to be confident. I thank them for it. They didn't belittle me. They didn't make me an unconfident person. They raised a confident man. Now, so I, not because I know everything's going to work. I have failed and lost more money than most people will ever make. But I am confident and resolute in the belief that I will make something happen. And so I could drown out my wife thinking I was crazy, my family going, you know, I mean, we love Ryan. Not sure what the hell he's doing. And then, you know, past colleagues going, well, this is on brand for Ryan. He just wants it to be about him. When in reality, it was not about that. It was about building something, building legacy, documenting what I believe, and building a show and building a company and building multiple streams of income based on what I saw as the future of media. And I was late. Like, I did, let me just tell you, no one would have had a better social media feed than me in 2012. I was working on the who's who of brands and campaigns. I'd have had the best fucking IG on earth. The places I was at the every NFL stadium in the country, building the NFL mobile app, rolling out a $1 billion deal with the NFL and Verizon, launching the fourth or fifth or sixth iPhone, putting the Droid campaign to bed while raising up the Windows campaign and launching seven under the greatest smartphones that have ever hit the planet. And throw in Audi, Lexus, BMW, whoever else. And so I was late. I did all that shit and didn't document any of it. And so, but so the irony to me was that, you know, I was getting a little bit mocked. I'm like, damn, I should have done this a long time ago, but this isn't about me. This is the future. And this is what builds business and how you build brand and how you build credibility. And so, and then you also build something that you're proud of. I mean, we've done over 400 episodes. You know, we've built it over 6 years. And we've got one of the most consistently best shows. And, but you have to be able to believe in yourself and know when you know. And I've been a lot less certain about a lot of other decisions, but this path wasn't one of them.
I love just sitting in that response for a hot second, because there's this, like you mentioned, this attribute about you where you recognize the trend. And at the same time as recognizing the trend, you're also at the forefront of bringing in, and you kind of took away some of the steam from the questions that I was going to ask. But the good news is I'm really good at this, so I can come up with more questions. So
sometimes I answer four questions. Not intentionally.
Good podcast host and podcast guest, right? So I think part of it is like you're at the forefront of this landscape where technology is changing, right? The NFL is rolling out an app, iPhones, Androids, all the premier automobiles. And you're in contact and developing a network of high profile and highly effective individuals where, like, also physically, like, you're in the real world and you're experiencing, like, the coolest things that there could be to offer during that era, right? Like, you're working with the best brands and you're exposed to, like, and having say in these campaigns, the Can You Hear Me Now campaign from Verizon, right? Like, that kind of access, you know, experience isn't just what happens to you, it's what you do with it. And obviously, we've seen what you've done with it and how you've built out your brand and your companies. I'm curious, and like, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this fundamental question. I've kind of seen you answer it before, but just for my own, you know, I'd feel silly if I didn't ask you. What makes for an effective brand in your experience? Knowing now that you've kind of outlined your background and some of the things that I didn't mention in the intro and you've outlined now, what makes for an effective brand?
You know, I mean, that could be an episode on its own. And I want to avoid, I want to be able to have banter, not talk for 15 minutes. But let me answer. I'll say
high-level points, yeah.
I'll tell you what it looks like, and then I'll tell you briefly how you get there. When your brand transcends the product that you sell, that's when you know you have a brand. And what, let me, you know, I'm a guy that always goes, let me break this down into simple terms. So when your brand can be moved from different products and out of your category even and into other things, and it carries the chutzpah with it, that's when you know you've, you know, really got a brand. Now, how do you get there is the question. And there's two things. There's fundamental. I'm going to give you like a sentimental answer and a technical answer. So there's this little thing called media, and reach and frequency. The more people that see your message, the more times, the more top of mind awareness that you get in your category. Now, you got to layer on a great product or a great service or a great problem that you solve for a consumer. And so you're going to have a layer of all these things combined with the media play to build a brand that has resonance, that has differentiation, and that has lasting appeal and top of mind awareness. There is a lot of ways to go down to get there. But at the end of the day, if you're trying to build a national known brand, you have to be known. You have to, and that's why, you know, the largest brands in the world forever ran TV ads, ran outdoor boards. Like, the only way to get reach and frequency of your message is mass media. But now we live in this world, like, if you're just, now it's, whether it's a personal brand or a big brand, it's like, you still have this window, whether or not your brand is relevant and we want it to be known to 500 people or 5 million, you still can use the same principles with which to build and grow that reputation. Brand equals reputation at the end of the day. And a lot of people do not do justice to everything that impacts their reputation / brand. I didn't do, I'll give a personal example, the Radcast, the show. I started small. I thought small. Even though I had done all these amazing things, I was like, let me call my buddy Bobby. Now he can come on the show. He'd do it with me. All right, we'll get in the closet and talk about something. And look, I mean, I wasn't a billionaire, but I had money. I could build a studio. Like, I was like, why am I playing small ball? And so, that might have stunted the growth of the show initially just because I wasn't playing big. I wasn't building the brand. If I don't believe it, if I don't show it, if I don't demonstrate it, then no one else is. And it's not fake it till you make it. I don't know, I'm faking shit. I've done more things than most people will do in a lifetime. But we're self-limiting. And I think, back to the brand question, it's everything that matters with your reputation. And, it's the most cliche answer, and I wouldn't use it if I hadn't worked with them and I hadn't seen it and been on the floor with the who's who under this organization. But there's a reason that Apple is one of the most admired brands in the world. The way they do one thing is the way they do everything. From the packaging to the instructions to the website to the products to the way they hold meetings, the way they have lunch. Brand is everything to them, and it was lived, breathed, and believed from top to bottom. And it's why they're the most one of the most valuable brands on the planet. And so there's a lot of ways to get there, but people discount a lot of the small things that add up to that reputation.
I'm so happy I asked the question. I understand it kind of was like your surface level knowledge, but I think when I hear it from you, I mean, I've had the opportunity to sit across from some awesome creators, some incredible entrepreneurs. Obviously, we're talking now, not just virtually, but also in person. And when you hear it firsthand, I was talking about this recently also, where like I find that the advantage of being a podcaster, we publish the conversation. It's not exclusive to me or to you, right? There's no like side, there are sidebar conversations, things that happen and such, but the real advantage is time. It's acting on the information that you offer, even if you've offered it in other platforms and formats. It's acting on the information before you offered it to the audience and using that time as the competitive advantage. At least in my experience, that's what I'm finding. And it's also the opportunity to audit and improve. And kind of on that note, as you have improved as a podcaster, you know, you mentioned thinking big versus thinking small as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. What is your reflection process and how you go about improving your skill set?
Yeah, I mean, no one's more critical of myself than me, you know, like we all are. And I try not to, I don't think I'm like, I know certain people that they just have paralysis from analysis. I'm definitely not that person. I also believe speed and iteration win in today's world. So there's like this balance of back to, I'm going to tie these things together. Like you're building brand, but you want to move fast and you want to have iteration. So it's not, you got to focus on the right things, but not to get too caught up in things that also aren't advancing the ball. And so, look, I listen back to every episode that I do at least once, you know, and quite frankly, I have four kids, I'm running four companies, and, you know, like just making time to do that, is actually harder than you would think. Cause I'm, you know, recording them too, but I listen to every episode and I don't overanalyze my every word, but I pick up on subtle things, you know, the way I ask this or however long or, you know, but, and I'll say this, the funny thing is for me, something really small, I was blessed with kind of a radio voice. I mean, I could be the, you know, but if you go listen like to someone like my first like 5 or 10 podcasts, I was just very, you know, like I didn't have energy. Like, it was the weird, I go listen to him. I'm like, was I depressed at this time of year and I didn't know it? it's your job to bring a little bit of energy, not, and you know, my energy turns into excitement a little bit sometimes, you know, I know that I get loud, but like, but I was like, and so like, there's those subtle things that if you don't, can't get better, you know, like, it's like watching film. Like, are you kidding me? I think Tom Brady would be what Tom Brady is if he didn't watch film of himself. And so I caution people to take that advice and not overanalyze themselves, but we can all get better. And, you know, it's everything from myself to the lighting, to little things, you know, there's, and look, I've been in production services for 20 plus years being part of marketing. So there's things that I see, you know, that probably bother me that might not bother others. And then, you know, 80% of our audience is audio. So for the long time, I tried not to get too concerned with video, but then I'm like, this all these highly clips. And so, you know, I'm always tinkering in my head with how to get better.
It's important from my perspective to ask the question, because
this episode is brought to you by Slate Milk. Slate Milk is a protein chocolate drink that gives you all the necessary energy after you have finished a hard training session, or also serves as an awesome snack, whether it's hot or cold. I commute 2 hours a day to my job, and every single day after I train, I'm looking for a quick snack or post-workout drink that I don't have to spend time making. So I go into my fridge, I take out my Slate, and I hit the road as fast as I can and enjoy my drink on the way to work. That's the way that I personally like to enjoy it, because there's so many different flavors. So in the morning, the mocha flavor with the caffeine definitely hits. I can also recommend you check out their other flavors. It is a phenomenal brand. They are the number one partner of the UFC. You can actually go to their website, slatemilk.com, type in the code INSPIRED for 10% off your first order. So go ahead, type in the code INSPIRED at slatemilk.com to get 10% off your first order today. This episode is brought to you by ProMix. ProMix is an energy supplement brand that provides a whole plethora of different products, from protein cereal bars to protein shakes, probiotic, prebiotic, deep low products, along with electrolytes, and the list goes on. ProMix is the supplement that I go to for all of my health needs. It has been a game changer for me over the last few months. After the 1,000 pull-up challenge, my immune system was compromised in ways that were super uncomfortable. I kept getting sick, and I knew I needed to level up my game. I didn't place enough value on supplements, but I do now. I spent some time, I did my research, and ProMix is the brand that I decided to work with because my immune system is finally in check. So go check out ProMix.com and type in the code inside the inspired to get 20% off your first order today. That's right. Go to ProMix.com to get 20% off your first order today with the code inside the inspired.
When, I mean, you mentioned Michael Jordan and, or pardon me, Tom Brady. And I think there's a quote, maybe I saw it in Suits, who's watched more film than anyone? Michael Jordan, I think, is the answer. And like, for me, that is such, especially with high performers in general, and I do align you with the definition of a high performer. Family, you out, you know, you said you have four kids, four businesses. Obviously, the results speak for themselves. The numbers, right? Like, there's, the market validates it. There's that level of objectivity. And when you learn how a high performer operates, unless you're acting or implementing those specific insights, you're not necessarily going to know what the outcome is going to be, right? Like, maybe 1% or 0.5% of what works for you could work for me or for someone else. But that 0.5%, the ROI on implementing the actionable insight, could be 1,000%, right? So we don't need to do everything that you do. But even if there's that one sliver that makes a difference, that's what I find. I mean, you know, over 400 episodes, people that you've interviewed behind you right now, some of the highest profile creators, entrepreneurs that are out there. I think when I listen to you speak, and having gone through your content, researched you, studied the content, and you notice things differently with over 20 years of experience, production, marketing. There's that level of credibility, right? And I'm also very curious, as you spot trends in what works and what doesn't work, right? We just talked about reflection in terms of performance. Spotting trends, especially as a marketer, is important. Can you outline or maybe share some of the things that you're seeing right now and how they evolve and how you expect them to evolve over time in the marketing space, with social media? What are some of the trends that you're spotting right now that maybe you feel you have a bit of an edge on because, you know, your lens, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. You've had this evolution, and I saw it coming. I worked on the smartphone. The smartphone was coming like a freight train. People didn't know it. I knew it, you know, because I'd been in the focus groups to research in 2007 and 8 when before the first iPhone launched. You know, I saw in 2008 where we are today with every kid and every person with a smartphone, with a television in their hands, essentially, the screen at all times, where all content could be consumed. And so this is a world that I knew was coming on some level 15 years ago. And that has set the stage for a lot of where we're at, a lot of where the trends are evolving to, because we're always connected. You know, I was working on the forefronts of two things: the smartphone, which is the device delivering all of these things, and then the wireless networks that are keeping us ubiquitously connected. And they go hand in hand. The screen, the apps, the ability and the technology power to put the connectivity to use, combined with, I don't have to be at a coffee shop, it's nearly ubiquitous coverage and internet connectivity. And so we're living in that world now where we're always connected, always on in a lot of ways. And the TV is the radio, and the smartphone is the TV. For example, every time a commercial comes on, you're looking at your phone. So, but you might still be watching TV, you know, and I'm talking about live television. So like there's that like interplay, which is why I've always been a big sound device guy. And I still am even now. If you're going to run TV, you need to have a really good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because for that very reason. But let me talk about a couple of trends. So you've got time and place shifting that's happening. You know, the live content, the only live content that matters is sports for the most part. Everybody watches what they want, when they want, with streaming and everything else. So you have all these platforms converging into apps and different things, and all the sports networks are starting to formulate. There's a big news article that just came out where all live sports just about are going to be on one streaming app. And so like cable TV is going to really be hurting. But nonetheless, from a media standpoint, content and here's what, when you think about, but let me tie this all into personal branding and the podcast and everything like that. We're now all television, personal television stations. We are the content, well, you know, and so changing what content creator you watch is like changing the channel. You know, from 20 years ago, and whether it's on YouTube or it's on TikTok or on Instagram, those are just the vehicles for the content delivery. But ultimately, everyone has the ability to be a content creator and to be a media empire on some level. And then that's what we're doing with the Radcast, tied in with my personal brand and a lot of other things, is this intersection of content distribution, content creation, and branded content. Everyone is aware that they're being marketed to. The game's over. We know that we're being sold to. And so ads now are interrupting our daily flow. People don't want an ad. They're not creative anyway. Creativity left the building a long time ago, unfortunately. We got really lazy, and now AI is making it worse, not better. And so what's happening, though, is the content itself, branded content and brands, whether it's a person or a personal brand, you have this ability to storytell and to market through the lens of content like podcasting and other mediums. I mean, you're going to see this world where like TV, Pepsi is a TV station. You know, like their content, they're going to produce original content. The Coca-Cola, you know, like,
wow.
And so, because they're not going to, you know, people just are going to skip and not tolerate. They don't want to get like force fed, you know, a crappy commercial. So the only way for these brands to bring relevance is through branded content and different things. And so, and that's what the Radcast is going to be at the forefront of. So I say all this to say, if you aren't mobile first in everything that you're doing from a marketing perspective, you're way behind. Most people have bought into that and understanding that. But I think you're also getting to this place with .coms and Amazon and commerce is going to be changing in more ways than people recognize. And I could go down a lot of rabbit holes on that, Jonathan, but I'll pause there.
My mind is, I think, going down all those rabbit holes right now. I mean, having that access so early in your career to see and spot trends, understand, like you said, it was like a freight train. And when I asked the question, I didn't know what to expect as a response, but as you outline and color the landscape for media in specific, I mean, in an age of artificial intelligence and the technological revolution, just like 3.0, I'm excited about it to a degree. But like you also said, the game is over where everyone understands, like, our attention is the oil. How do we leverage that? I don't know. I guess the other side of it is becoming our own personal brands. And like you said, TV stations, that was so cool to hear that metaphor. How do we craft our own visions towards being productive personal brands? How do we put ourselves? And I think maybe that probably is the answer to my own question, but I'm definitely curious from your perspective. How do you outline a vision in light of everything that you just talked about that can still make you a productive and effective member of society and provide for your family, right? Like you mentioned media empire as a personal brands can be media empires. I don't think I've ever heard that before. How can people kind of outline a vision for their brands?
Well, it starts with an acceptance of that truth. And that might sound like a simple statement, but there are people that haven't completely digested the reality of the opportunity and the threat if they don't get on this train. And so I'll say this, like, I'm on this train. I'm not like, you know, Gary Vee 15 years ago, follow me around with a camera, show every insight and every taxi cab I get into. Like, I ain't that guy. Like, I don't show everything. And begrudgingly, I do some things because I just know it's good to share that because it brings opportunity and leverage. And so you have to accept the premise or not. It's fairly binary to start. You either go, this is a train I have to be on because of the leverage, the opportunities, and it pays to be known, or you don't. And it gets binary. And then from there, it gets complicated because then it's removing all, not all, we never remove it all, inhibitions, self-doubt, judgment from others. Because, you know, okay, I've bought into this that I need to share perspective. I want to be, leave a legacy and document what I'm doing towards, you know, whether it's a coach, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's whatever your field is in building out, you know, your personal brand, your reputation. But it starts with the simple reality, though, Jonathan, is like, you either understand the more people that know you, the more opportunities you get, or you don't. And if you don't, you got a problem. And AI is going to make that problem a lot worse. And so from there, though, how do you build it out? I mean, you got to get, you know, riches in the niches. Okay, sure. But like, a lot of what's necessary to carve this out flies in the face of what society and overall media has been trying to do, which is make us all robots and make us all do the same things. We're all going to be like this. We're all going to be the same. There's going to be like five categories of things. I'm going to do this path, this path, and this path. That's where creativity dies. That's where ideas die. That's where uniqueness and distinctiveness die, is in conformity. And so you have two things that are happening in parallel. Never more opportunity, never more ability to be known, to do these things, to be unique and to stand out and to talk about your perspective and build a company or a brand or build media around that, while society and everything else has us conforming and being not very different and not very interesting. And so you got to negotiate between those two and find your lane with which to make an impact.
I feel like the value on, usually I'm not as lost for words. I just found myself crafting. Well, like I said, you answered a lot of the questions at the top, but I think, I think some of it is that I'm also so excited about everything that's coming. I've been excited for over a year. ChatGPT, oh my God. Like for me, that was next level. I love seeing technology advance. I'm not afraid of it, at least not at this stage. I think it's a way to optimize workflows, and especially as someone who works a full-time position as an attorney, wants to create content. I love hearing everything that you're saying because it gives me hope for a lot of people to realize that obviously it's hard. Anything that's amazing or worth having will be on the other side of hard decisions and hard efforts and difficult experiences. But how little friction there is in going about achieving the thing to, or at least getting started on the thing to inevitably go achieve it. And you've shared some, maybe at one point would have been confidential, just in terms of here's my blueprint, and you're being very open and candid. And I think the audience, I certainly appreciate it. I don't think this kind of value is offered by, well, it's obviously why I wanted you on the show. I don't think this kind of value or insight is offered in terms of a blueprint for how people can go about curating their vision, their brands, and how to approach the next freight train that's coming. I want to be respectful of your time. You've been so generous. A couple more questions for you. We've talked about where things are going, talked about where we were as a society at one point. I think it would help the audience and the community in terms of, now that we have all this information, we know how to craft our vision, we understand where things are going, how can we go about acting on everything you've had to offer today?
Yeah. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So, look, a goal without a map, without a schedule, without a plan, is just small talk. So, but look, you got to start small, but you got to, I like to give real world, like what I did. Like I just said, like when I started the Radcast 6 years ago and I was starting my agency, Radical Company, we're a full service marketing agency. And I started it and I just said, no matter what, I'm going to produce this show every week and I'm committed to it. And no one had more excuses or distractions or reasons not to do it. I mean, again, I'm starting a new agency and there's a million things going on, but I committed to that. And so I started small. It doesn't have to be bigger than what you can take on, but you have to be willing to commit to it and stick with it when you aren't given evidence daily that it's working. And boy, do people struggle with that. And so it doesn't mean you create content for content's sake. There are a lot of people, and I know them, that produce content or shows, and they've done 5,000 of this and 4,000 of this, and they still haven't gotten traction. But they haven't changed. They haven't evolved. And they don't listen to anyone else. They're stubborn as hell. And so they're the bad outliers, but they do exist. And so you do have to make adjustments. But you do just have to start with just core discipline and want to and setting a schedule and mapping goals and then ultimately habits to get there. I mean, habits form our way of life. And so, you know, I don't want to get too like personal development on us here, but like some of it is just the biggest thing is you're not going to get validation immediately, no matter what you do. Like when I started the show, I didn't monetize for 2 years and I didn't plan on it. I just knew that I needed to get better. I believed in the medium. I believed in the approach, but I also didn't stay the same. I didn't do what Johnny content maker does that has never made a dollar in his life from it. That it's a hobby because he's created 7,000 YouTube videos that all have 4 views and, but never changes. Like, no, I changed. I learned. I made a bigger studio. I invited bigger guests. I did it twice a week instead of once a week. I went bigger. I, you know, got advice from other people. And so you have to be willing to evolve, but you got to start somewhere. But you also have to improve. But it starts with like just the fundamental goals and habits and like knowing what's the end game? What do you want? What do you want from this? And being real clear about how you're going to get there.
That goes back to the vision that we were talking about before, and I think you did a great job of outlining what that looks like actionably. I feel like I could talk to you for a whole other hour, and hopefully at some point we could do this again.
For sure.
Like I said, anytime. I want to be respectful of your time. There's a question that I pose to all my guests that I'm not going to pose to you as we round this thing out. If the future version of yourself from 10 years from now, assuming he's in that ideal spot, were to fly in and offer you some advice in order to get there, what do you think he would say to you?
Stay the course. You know, like it's, I know I have wisdom. I'm 46 years old. I get wisdom every day, but I have enough wisdom to make it happen. Whether I get there or not will be dictated by the decisions, the discipline, and the commitment that I put in. I have little doubt in knowing how to get there. It's just the human struggle of making it happen. And so I think I tell myself, because this is what I would have told myself, like 10 years ago. Like a lot of it's like, you need to learn. You need to take your licks. But I think I've had the path right in my head. But we all make human mistakes along the way that you either learn from or you don't. You either change ways, change habits, change things that get in the way. Most people know how to do it. There's enough. Knowledge is cheap. Action is hard. And so it's, everybody thinks there's a secret. Everybody thinks there's a secret sauce. And I've talked to some of the most successful, wealthy, known people on the planet. The formula ain't difficult. It is not that complex. But it's hard as hell to get there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ryan Afford, please let the audience know where they can keep up with your journey.
Yeah, I'm best find me on Instagram. That's my most active platform. I'm on TikTok too, Ryan Afford. Got that blue check mark before you could buy it. So.
Love to hear it. Thank you so much for this. This was an awesome time, and I look forward to many more, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan.